It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Master Plan World. Welcome to our latest podcast episode. It's an absolute pleasure to have you all listening. I'm Chloe Thomas, creator of the E-commerce Master Plan. I'm an author, speaker, and all-round e-commerce problem solver, and I focus on e-commerce business strategy and marketing. Now, you can join the chat about this episode and all things e-commerce in our E-commerce Master Plan World Facebook group, which you'll find either go and search for it on Facebook or just head via ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook. Last time on the show, we caught up with Susie Moore of So Susie Stamps and looked into how she's used an influencer network of card designers to grow her business. Stacks of tips in that one from a very different marketplace. Well, let me introduce you to today's special guest. Steve Honnight is UK brand manager for Newton Running. Newton Running is an American business who design, wholesale and retail their own running shoes. The newtonrunning.co.uk business launched in 2009 and has been managed by Steve and his team for the past 2 years. They look after both the wholesale and website sales in the UK, and Steve's business turns over $1 million per year, including over 2,000 direct-to-consumer e-commerce orders. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Chloe.
I've just given our listeners a really quick overview of you and your business, which, to be honest, probably has them wondering more questions and more gaps than it answers. So how did you get started off in e-commerce?
Slightly long story, but I'll try and keep it short for you. So background in engineering and finance, but I was really passionate about triathlon and running. So back in 2009, decided to try and get into the sports distribution space. I went to work for a company which at the time managed the distribution of Newton Running in the UK and was selling Newton Running shoes through the newtonrunning.co.uk platform. Worked for those guys for about 3.5-4 years before moving on to work with another online retailer called Sport Pursuit, which is a flash sales, sports-related e-commerce platform. It's quite fast-growing. And venture capital funded, worked with those guys for a couple of years, and then moved on to work for another sports distributor, looking after a couple of their really big e-commerce accounts. And that was a job that I had for, again, about 2 years. And then finally came back to working with the Newton brand again in the UK, setting up a distribution company called Alchemy NRG. And we did that back in 2014. So now I've been back managing the Newton Running brand for about the last 2 years in the UK.
Well, so you're very much, your business, Alchemy NRG, is a business which kind of licenses product for a geographical region.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. So there's a number of brands that we have exclusive distribution rights for in the UK. We wholesale those products to other retailers, both physical and online retailers. But then we do manage online direct sales for the brand as well, either through branded platforms like newtonrunning.co.uk or through another retail site where we have a multi-brand platform, which is called newrunninggear.com.
Okay, so I take it all your brands are running brands then, and then you've created your own site where you can sell all of them without having to do the full investment in a solo brand site.
Yep, correct. And it works on a number of different levels because on the brand site, obviously, we just have those brands for sale, but sometimes consumers want to shop multi-products, so technology with apparel, with footwear, all in one basket, and that's what the newrunninggear.com site allows us to do.
Oh, cool. And I'm guessing, given you're 2 years in, you've got a seven-figure turnover, you're quite happy to be in that style of e-commerce and distribution.
Absolutely. I mean, we took over some existing contracts, and it's a business that I've obviously been in now for about 8 or 9 years, so we know it quite well. We know the retail partners that we work with quite well. We've been dealing with them and supplying with them in various shapes or sizes for the past 8 or 9 years. We also have an export business as well, where we ship some products out of Europe into Asia. So that helps to top up the turnover too.
So it's for those of you listening, this is a very different style of getting into e-commerce. So if you're out there thinking, I'd love to do more e-commerce or start an e-commerce business, and you know, you listened to my session with Philip of the startup podcast earlier in the year, and you thought, well, I can't design my own product. What am I going to do? Well, you can go and find someone else's product that's not available in your country and see if you can get the license on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's never easy to sign a distribution contract for a brand, especially an exclusive one. Obviously, I've got quite a lot of experience, and my business partner as well has a couple of decades in the sector, so he knows people quite well. But certainly, if you do manage to get a deal, then it can be relatively good business to be in.
Cool. Well, look, let's move on to talk about the e-commerce side of things now. So tell us a bit about Newton Running and your other e-commerce sites as they are right now. I'm obviously, you're in the UK. Do you sell e-commerce outside the UK, or are you limited in that?
So in the UK, we sell products on newrunninggear.com. We occasionally get customers from outside of the UK, but primarily the focus is UK-based customers as well, because the contracts that we've got and the other supply agreements we have with additional brands are all for the UK only. With Newton Running, it's a slightly different arrangement. We distribute the product in the UK, but on the e-commerce platform, we're actually allowed to sell in the UK and Europe. So we have newtonrunning.co.uk and newtonrunning.eu. And the setup there is, like you say, a bit different from a normal arrangement, because we try to mirror the US site. So newtonrunning.com in the US is the platform that Newton Running domestically in the United States sell their products direct to consumers through. And in the UK and Europe, we try and have a very similar looking site, but it's obviously tailored for the UK and the European market. So with different payment gateway system, different currencies, some language adaptions, and then fulfillment via a different warehouse that's based in Holland in Europe.
Because I'm guessing the reason you've got to do that is because, and having had a look at the Newton Running websites and the products, they're quite heavy on brand and story, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah, that's right. And so we want to make sure that we're delivering the same message to consumers, they're getting the same information about the products, and it's a global and unified story that we're telling.
Okay, cool. So then the product is, obviously, we've talked quite a bit about that. So it's running shoes and running gear, basically.
Exactly.
Both sides. Okay. And what platform are you using to sell?
So the Newton Running site is built on Magento. And that is, let's say, a legacy decision, because the newtonrunning.com site is also built on Magento. Obviously, it's a fairly robust platform, works well for high order volume processing, and because the US site was built on that platform, to copy the code base and to replicate it for the UK and the European URLs, it made sense to continue with Magento. With New Running Gear and a couple of the other sites that we manage, we actually use Shopify, which we find as a relatively easy to use tool with lots of cool plugins and add-ons that can be used by people with less coding experience, maybe, let's say. Mm-hmm. People like myself who understand tech but can't get deep into PHP or CSS coding for the styling and design. So that works really well for our other sites.
Okay, cool. And are there any kind of key widgets or plugins you're using on those sites?
Yep. So Critique is one that we've actually used across both Magento and Shopify platforms. So that's the online review system that allows consumers to make a video review of the products they've received. Obviously, with relatively niche or specialist products for sports, it's really important to have good customer reviews. And I think that the Critique platform really helps people to, let's say, identify similar people to them using the products and get a level of confidence over the review and the product to give them that extra incentive to buy from us. So it's a bit like social proofing, you know. If you see other people who are like you buying or acting in a particular way, you're going to feel confident in doing that. And the Critique app really helps with that more so maybe than if we had just hundreds and hundreds of written reviews, which I know from reading recently some challenges with reviews on Amazon and other sites that people maybe have become a bit skeptical of just written reviews. So critique's a good one. And then a couple of others that we use are Bold on Shopify. There's a couple of cool widgets that those guys have created. So it allows us to do product bundles and automate the returns process, which is really important for us to try and automate as much as possible with the e-commerce platforms, try and stay as hands-free as possible. And then we also do a lot of promotion via Instagram. So we use a plugin called Instapic that allows us to draw in some of the images that we've used on our Instagram channels and put them onto the website for people to view.
Oh, cool. I want to come back to the we're going to talk about the automation bit later. Don't worry, that is definitely coming. But I want to go back to the critique, Pip, to those video reviews that you're doing. I know a lot of people out there, because I get the question quite often, really struggle to get people to leave a text review, you know, just to write, yeah, it arrived, 5 stars, or something that simple. So have you found it difficult to get customers to leave a video review? Because to me, that seems like a whole other level of, request on the customer, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've done a couple of promotions, shall we say, to incentivize people to do that. So there's competitions that we've run. We've seeded some product into the market to get people to do reviews. And where they've done that, obviously it's been fairly explicit. They got a free product to test and review. And then generally speaking, we find that people who are doing video reviews are maybe quite engaged and are actually doing some kind of self-promotion is probably not the right word, but they're looking to build a profile themselves online. And by doing some online video reviews, it's helping them with that too. So it's kind of a community that's building around critique and the brands that people are reviewing for. So people have more of a maybe incentive to do that and to put their reviews online than potentially a text review, which A, maybe is seen as not very important by the person leaving it, and B, might be just a bit of hassle for them to do.
So you think it's kind of both a bit of incentive and simply the marketplace you're in that people are quite passionate about?
I think so, exactly. Exactly that.
Cool. Let's talk about this automation piece, because, I mean, there's obviously you're managing several different websites, several platforms, several countries, wholesale as well as retail. So how do you structure your team? Because you've said about getting as much automation in there as possible. How does it all work? Who's in the head office?
Well, actually, we're a remote operation. So there's about 5 people working full and part time on the business, and everyone works remotely from home. So we don't have a physical head office. In terms of the automation, things that are absolutely critical for us are daily or live stock feeds, so that we're not showing products that are out of stock available on the website. Automatic order processing, so when an order's submitted, no one has to touch that, just go straight through to the warehouse to be dispatched and shipped for us. And then tracking notifications being sent by return directly to customers, again, without any physical human touch to get that information back to the customers. So really, we should only have to intervene when either there's a problem, a tech problem, something's broken that we need to fix, or when a customer needs to check in on something that they've either not received. And a lot of the time, we'll find it's an error which an FAQ could solve. So we try where possible to have a fairly detailed FAQ or an automated exchange or returns program. So there's links on the website and on the emails that customer receives, so they know if they want to send a product back or they need to get a refund, what to do. And again, that process we try and automate as much as possible, apart from the final refund that we give to a customer, where for the most part now we have a human intervening to make the refund, but maybe we'll automate that at some point in the future as well.
Okay, cool. So you've definitely outsourced the wholesale. You've outsourced an awful lot of, so not the wholesale, the warehousing and fulfillment.
Yep. Yep.
You've clearly tried to outsource as much as possible to the tech. So what are the key roles of those five people you've actually got in the business?
So essentially, it's marketing, which is both social media and then anything we do via third-party platforms, mostly online because we do nearly all of our marketing digitally. Customer service.
Oh, hold on 2 seconds. What do you mean when you refer to third-party platforms in the marketing piece? Are we talking AdWords and Facebook, or are we talking Amazon?
So, sorry, yeah, I guess maybe that's the right terminology to use, but maybe we'll be placing adverts on digital magazines, mm-hmm. or we'll be doing competitions through sites like Running Heroes that will be traffic drivers. So we'll be using their email database or their visitors to their site to hopefully promote our products to and get them to click through to the websites that we're managing.
Cool. So it's that kind of hybrid influencer advertising PR piece.
Exactly. So there's a couple of different techniques that we use there. But actually, probably the biggest driver of traffic and sales for us is email. So that's an important one for us. So we use social, we use email, and we use these third-party platforms to help drive traffic to the site. So that's quite a big role, the marketing side of things. Then we've got customer service, obviously looking after any customers who've got any queries or complaints or returns or refunds that need to be processed. And then there's a back office finance function as well. So again, on the back office accounting side of things, we use a platform called Xero, which integrates really well with Shopify. Mm-hmm. With Magento, it's not quite as plug and play, but we do generate reports weekly, which we then upload directly into Xero, which is almost a fully automated process so that we can record all the sales transactions and keep record of them for accounting purposes.
Okay, cool. And I guess someone in that team is also working on wholesale orders.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that's the five people, that's the other side as well. So making sure that we're doing wholesale orders to customers. We have a lot of online customers, and we also have physical retail stores as well that we sell to. Quite a few of those have online platforms as well. So we try and be really online friendly in terms of the quality of information that we provide to our wholesale customers in terms of web-ready images, text descriptions, all of the necessary SKU information, barcodes and things like that. So having all of that information in a good format internally for our own online retail also works really well for us being able to service our wholesale customers who are using online retail as well.
It sounds like you've got quite an enlightened approach to being the product owner as such, and both retailing and wholesaling. Because I come across, the reason I say that is because I come across a lot of businesses who come from kind of a more traditional background of the licensed product world, or they've designed their own product. And, they feel like they're playing catch up. There's a bit of a war on the online side of things. Mm. This person's listed this product on Amazon. They've listed it badly. They're undercutting us, or they're undercutting someone else. And it seems like they spend an awful lot of time dealing with issues. Whereas it sounds like, and certainly, they'd be like, they would not yet have got as far as providing the right information to their wholesalers to make it easy for them to sell online. So, what's your kind of your philosophy around competing with your own customers?
So first of all, our take on it is that we're not necessarily trying to compete directly with our customers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everyone's free to sell at whatever price that they would like to sell at. We can advise the retail prices, and then our customers can sell at the price that they feel is right for them to sell at to their customer base. What we find is with our wholesale customers, generally speaking, they're selecting a range of products which work well for their customer base and the traffic that's either coming through their site or coming into their store. Mm-hmm. So as a brand owner, let's say, our offer to consumers is essentially that we'll show the full product range which is on offer. So all of the different products from Newton Running Shoes or any of the brands that we work with alongside each other, all generally at the full retail price, and gives customers that opportunity to shop all of those products alongside each other, to compare them and to decide which is the right product for them. So we find sometimes people prefer to buy from a brand because they can do that and they can see the different options that are available. Sometimes they'll prefer to buy from a retailer where they'll have other products that they'll buy at the same time in the basket, or because they're specifically looking for a special discount, which they've received a discount code from that retail partner to use on their purchase that day. So we kind of, we're not selling commodity products, we're selling fairly specialized niche sports products. And so there's room for us to sell as a brand direct, as well as for retail partners to sell to consumers as well. And I think we're offering just ever so slightly different,
Different proposition, isn't it? The home of the product, that one that only one person in the UK wants, you've got it. Whereas if you've got someone, one of your wholesalers is a women's running brand, they're only going to be buying the women's shoes.
Exactly. And so the other thing as well is with our direct brand site, we see a lot of bounce to other retailers. And in fact, sometimes when we've sold out of a particular product, we might list one of our retail partners as a store where they can get that shoe from if we were out of stock in our warehouse. So we're kind of, a little bit indifferent as to where the consumer gets the product from, so long as they're buying our product and not a competitor's product. So I think, that's the approach we need to take. We don't really need to mind whether they buy directly from us or through one of our retail partners. As long as they are buying our products, then we're happy. So that's the kind of approach that we like to take, because we don't want to be trying to compete directly either on price or some other service level with the customers, with the retail partners that we're working with, because then you end up in a downward spiral.
Yeah, I think that's the approach I'm trying to help some people get to. So this podcast may be sent to a few people, and if you're listening, you know who you are. But I think it's quite hard. It's quite a big mind shift for people, because all of a sudden everything's so visible. I think that tends to be the most difficult thing.
Everything's visible, and you really have to be indifferent about where the customers are going to purchase the product from. And it's also true of the advertising that you're doing as well. So you might be advertising a particular product. If you're just selling direct to consumers, then you want to see that return direct to your website and that purchase be made from you. But if we're supplying wholesale customers, then actually we have to be aware that, or also encourage consumers to maybe go to their retail platforms or into their stores to buy the product when they see the advertising that we place. So the advertising needs to be slightly tailored or carefully pitched to make sure we're not trying to drive too much direct traffic to our own websites.
It's almost more brand awareness than direct sales.
Correct, yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, Steve, we've gone through quite a lot of detail there about the business and touched on some really interesting subjects, but I wonder, what do you think is the most awesome thing about your business right now?
Well, we have some really cool products I'm personally excited about. So very passionate about running and the Newton Running brand. Also, the new line clothing that we sell and technology product Stride that we distribute in the UK too. So having that great collection of products, being able to sell them directly through the brand websites or through our own retail platform, New Running Gear, is something that excites me. But the best bit is we have cool new products coming through almost every month next year. So we've got a really good solid release plan for next year in terms of new products, which means lots of new things to talk about, lots of new things to shout about. And as we continue to try and automate as much as possible with the business, then it means we can really focus on those cool add value items like the promotional marketing side of things, where we can definitely get smarter, we can spend more money in the right places, and hopefully that'll allow us to continue to drive the revenue line upwards.
Excellent. And do you find that being passionate about the product is pretty essential to what you do? It's something which I often get into the debate with people. Do you have to be passionate about your product?
I don't think you have to be. I think you can be passionate about the process. And so I know other people in the e-commerce business who are passionate about the process and less passionate about the product. But certainly being passionate about the product really helps as well. So I wouldn't say it was a necessity, but it certainly makes it easier to pull long days and find solutions to really tricky problems when you're actually passionate about the products you're selling as well as the system that you're doing it under.
Okay, cool. And I just want to come back to something which you mentioned earlier, which is you said most of your sales are coming in via email. I wonder if you had a couple of top tips for our listeners out there for how to go about driving a few more sales from email.
So email, we use a couple of different platforms, Bronto and MailChimp, but also have seen other companies I work for use platforms like Silverpop as well. They're all quite similar. They all have quite a lot of functionality these days. And I think the most important thing really is customization and segmentation of the database that you've got. So we really try to, wherever possible, segment the email database into people who are more likely to be interested in the products that we're sending them, or the email that we're sending them, or sending the email at the right time that might work for them, right time of day or right time of week. So it's really about that kind of optimization. So rather than just putting a specific offer or an update in an email and sending it out to the whole list that you've got, trying really hard to segment it and tailor the emails, whether it's men's product to people who you know are men on the list, women's product to people you know are women on the list, or women's product to people you know on the list that bought women's product, even though they might not be women, vice versa with men as well. So, you know, these things, consumers can indicate their preferences to you either via a questionnaire or some other information, but actually the data that you glean from what they do on your website and the products they purchase are probably more important in terms of the segmentation that you do.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Go with the actual actions of the customer are considerably more powerful than what they say they'll do. And I like the fact that you know, on the customization and personalization front, it's the big ticket things. It's not the fact that that person likes a pink shoe with laces. And you know, it's the fact that that person's female or buys female product, because I think a lot of people get a bit obsessed by the niche that they can get to with the segmentation and forget about the big picture, high return options.
Yeah, exactly. And also I think, you know, the emails just need to be relevant to the people that are opening them. So I'm signed up to hundreds of e-commerce sites and receive thousands of emails. Fortunately, I filter nearly all of them so that I don't get an inbox that's full every morning. But I do click through and have a look at what other retailers are doing and other brands are doing. And then the ones that I actually use and I personally shop on, it's funny, every now and then, you know, I'll unsubscribe from a website that I actually want to get information from, but they keep on sending me really irrelevant offers or updates. So I'm actually personally turning off emails to sites that I want to get information about because they're not sending me things that are relevant to me. And so I think that's what consumers do generally. So if we're sending them too much information which is irrelevant, then they're just going to turn off to the brand or the email communications that we're sending.
I couldn't agree more. And I think it's time we look for a few more top tips by going into the tops tip round now. And I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So, Steve, first up is the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
So actually, I would recommend on Friday, if you had the day off, not to buy a book, but to get onto Audible and listen to audiobooks. And I would suggest that you practice listening at 2 or 3 times speed. It sounds really weird to start off with, but after a while you can get used to it. And I did that about 12 months ago. And now I regularly get through about 2 or 3 books a week. Find it really interesting, and still find that all of the information goes through to me if I listen at 2 or 3 times speed. And so I have a whole list of books that I would recommend and could even send a list out of the ones that I've listened to most recently. But my favorite in the last couple of weeks has been The Subtle Art of Not Giving and then a 4-letter word, which I won't say.
Thank you.
By an author called Mark Manson.
Brilliant. Two great tips there. Listen to things on Audible at speed, and The Subtle Art of Not Giving Up as well. We'll put links to all of that in the show notes. The next one is the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
So we talked already about email list, and I definitely think that's the number one traffic driver for us in terms of the direct marketing that we do to consumers. When we work with third-party sites, again, when they send emails out to their consumer base or their customer base, that's when we see the biggest return. Whenever we do competitions, we try and make it so that the competition entry is a subscription or a sign-up to the email list. Sometimes we do co-branded competitions with other brands who are adjacent to ours, not necessarily competing brands, but brands that might be complementary, so we can get a bigger collective audience between us to share the sign-ups from, and that works really well as well. But I think sometimes people get sucked into social media and think it's the best way ever to promote their brand and product. But I think doing lots of different things in different channels, but trying to bring everyone back onto that direct consumer email list is really powerful and really important.
Excellent. I love that. I think it's so much easier to get the email sign up than it is to get the first sale. And once you've got the email sign up, you can do so much more to get the first sale.
Exactly. And you can start to get really analytical as well in terms of when people signed up, how long it's taken them to go from sign up to become a customer. And you can work out things like lifetime customer value. Once you know that, you know how much you need to spend to acquire each sign up to your website and how much revenue that's going to drive in the future. So it can be really important. The one thing I do find at the smaller end of the e-commerce, because I have worked for a big e-commerce retailer, and obviously analytics for them is really, really important. And I think sometimes at the lower end, at the startup phase, you can get too sucked into the really detailed analytics when actually all you need to do is drive some traffic to the website.
So easy to do.
Yeah. So, if you've improved your conversion by 100%, but you've only got one customer coming to the site, then, you really need to focus on getting more people to the site rather than improving the conversion.
Very true.
That's one thing we learned at the beginning.
Okay, the tool top tip then. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Do you know what? It's funny. The app that I use the most, both personally but also for work as well, is WhatsApp. So I have WhatsApp chats, a few different WhatsApp chat channels with everyone in the company, and we just share information on WhatsApp. We could probably use a more dedicated system like Slack or something like that, but actually WhatsApp works really well because we're all using it personally as well, and it's just a really easy way to have continuous conversations without having to constantly pick up the phone and call each other, which actually I think can be quite disruptive if we keep on making phone calls to each other. If we're having WhatsApp chats, then we're not necessarily going to disrupt the activity that we're in the middle of, and it's kind of this asymmetrical conversation that you can just continue throughout the day, sharing information between each other.
Cool. And then the startup top tip. If you met someone this weekend who's thinking of starting an e-commerce business, what would be your first piece of advice for them?
I would definitely suggest researching and looking to use Shopify as the system behind the e-commerce platform. I'd definitely consider Amazon FBA because it just takes a lot of the headaches away from warehousing and shipping product. And then I would introduce them to my cousin who does web design and suggest that he might be a great person for them to pick up with and figure out how their e-commerce site might look.
Nice. I like that. Nice practical advice. Okay, well, Masterplan World, you can find the top tips and links to everything else we've chatted about in today's episode by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/98. Now, Steve, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your businesses on the web and social media, please? And feel free to include the web address of your cousin.
So at newtonrunning.co.uk or .eu for all the Newton Running products that we sell. For our multi-brand website, it's newrunninggear.com. Both of those should come up, hopefully, fairly high if you Google search them. And then on social media, we are Newton Running Europe on Facebook and New Running Gear, again, on Facebook. Both of those also replicated on Instagram as well. We're really big on Instagram. We spend a lot of time trying to build our following and post some, I would say, pretty cool pictures on there almost daily. So feel free to follow us on there. I'm sure we'll follow you back. And my cousin is nathanbankhead.co.
Lovely. Thank you. I'll add links to all of that and everything else we talked about in today's episode or in the show notes. Lost track of myself there. Masterplan World, you can find those at ecommercemasterplan.com/98, or just head over to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Steve, thank you so much for being on the show today. Some really great tips from some really random areas of e-commerce there. Who'd have thought we'd be talking about email and distribution strategies and wholesale methods, as well as distributed teams on the same show. So thank you very much for being so generous, sharing so much experience with us.
Thank you, Chloe. Appreciate that.
Wow, what a fascinating chat. I think it's a type of e-commerce that I come across a fair amount, but which doesn't often get talked about. So I'm really pleased to have had Steve on to talk about how they've become the licensee for various products into the UK in that niche of running, and how they're using that both to create the brand website, in the case of Newton Running, and then to create their own kind of product or sector brand with the new runninggear.com. I also love his bits and pieces there about email marketing, because it's quite right. If you can get those email addresses signed up, then it's going to become an awful lot easier to drive those sales, especially if there's particular crisis points in the old cash flow where you need some cash in quickly. It's a lot easier to sort that out if you can simply send an email with a very good offer in it. As one of our listeners, I assume you're really enjoying the podcast. So please do share it with your e-commerce and business and marketing friends. Whether you do it online via Twitter, Facebook, WeChat, or, you know, whatever else is on the go at the minute, or whether you do it in real world with maybe a letter. How about sending a letter with a nice stamp on it to one of your friends to tell them to listen? Or a coffee, pint, conference. I really don't mind, but I would love us to get this out to more people, because I know from all your feedback that these are really useful, interesting episodes, and it would really be great to get that out to more people, not least because next week you have to come back next week to have a listen, because I have John Warlow, yes, the author of The Automatic Customer, is going to be on the show. Yes, really, John Warlow, author of The Automatic Customer. And it's great to have him on. He's going to be talking about all things subscription. He's also going to be talking about getting your business ready for sale, because, of course, that's his other hugely great book called Built to Sell. And he's going to be answering some of your questions too. So have a great week. Come back next week to listen to the John Warlow interview with all your friends, and keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.